Our scripture is in Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi came from the east, arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathered together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for from you will come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." And hearing the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went on ahead of them, until it came to stop over the place where the child was to be found. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after they came into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. After being warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night, and left for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod. This happened so that what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent men and killed all the boys who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity, who were 2 years old or under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and settled in a city called Nazareth. This happened so that what was spoken through the prophets would be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Who were these wise men that came to worship Jesus? It's interesting that Matthew was the gospel that presented Jesus as the king. So it was appropriate that Matthew would be the gospel that would talk about these three wise men or three kings, three sages who came to worship the Lord. In fact, it's interesting, we learn more from poetry, from art, and from Christmas cards. We learn more about who these men were than we learn from the scriptures. We learn from them that there were three wise men. The Bible doesn't give us a number. just said that wise men or magi came to worship the Lord. We learn especially from our Christmas cards that they were well-dressed, that they had fancy turbans, that they had long flowing robes, and that even in some, they had crowns. But when we think of where they came from, perhaps from the area of Babylon or Persia, that they had traveled over the desert for over 800 miles, you kind of had to wonder if they would be dressed in long, luxurious robes with turbans and crowns on their head. We have taken liberty since COVID came to do a lot of what we do on YouTube or on Zoom or Facebook Live. The folks who are on Facebook Live this morning watching our program have no idea that the pastor is wearing sneakers today. And so many of you who are working from home, you have a nice top on and pajama bottoms. Someone asked me this week, "Pastor, is it okay if we come to church in pajama bottoms?" I said, "Just so long as you come. Come and enjoy the time we have together." So they had traveled 800 miles across the desert. I don't think that they were pictured as they are in Christmas cards. We learn, too, that the star of Christmas was just above the camel's head or above the manger. Some think the Star of Bethlehem was in the sky about a week ago, but the real star lasted over a longer period of time because the wise men followed the star, and it appeared again after they had been in Jerusalem. There are wise people, wise men and wise women of every nationality. It's not just limited to a certain nationality. It's not just limited to a certain race. And it's not just limited to a certain religion. Wisdom should be honored whenever and from wherever it's found. These men were called magi. They were wise men from their culture. They were sincere individuals who were trying to know what was going to happen. And wouldn't we all like to know what's going to happen in the future? Every once in a while, I turn on my computer and up comes this homepage, I guess it is, from Microsoft. And it has all of the important stories, the news stories of the day. And every once in a while, they'll come on something that said, "What stocks are going to do next year?" or something like that comes up. And so I'll hit on it because I want to find out what stocks are going to do next year. And I find out that it's an advertisement. Somebody wants to sell me something. Well, we all would like to know what's going to happen in the future. We would all like to have some inside information on what's going to happen. Well, these people were no different. There used to be a commercial on back in the 80s. When E.F. Hutton talks, everybody listens. Remember that commercial? Everyone would stop, it'd be conversation, and then when someone would mention E.F. Hutton, everybody would go, "What's going to happen in the future?" There's an Old Testament verse about 200 men from the tribe of Issachar. And it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, "From the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do, their chiefs were 200 and all their kinsmen were at their command." The tribe of Issachar settled on the other side of the Jordan River, just south of the Sea of Galilee. They were taken into captivity around 722 BC by the Assyrians. These could have been some of the men from the tribe of Issachar, or perhaps from one of the other tribes, but they were wise men. They also knew their times, and they knew what they should do. We should all aspire to be wise. After all, nobody sits around thinking, I just want to be stupid. No, we should be wise. Wisdom is sensitivity to the will of God and the ways of God. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about Paul, who had a sincere faith, and he had a clear conscience according to his forefathers. Now, we should all aspire to have a clear conscience according to our forefathers. But how do we gain the wisdom of God? Well, first of all, you can ask God. James wrote in chapter 1, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. He's not going to make fun of you because you come to him and ask for wisdom. He's going to honor that request. But it says you must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Sometimes that's what it feels like, especially this year, right? 2020, we feel like we're being driven by the wind and tossed in the waves. For that person ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded, unstable in all his ways. So first of all, we must ask in faith, believing that God will grant that request. And I think so important too, from Psalm 111, verse 10. The psalmist said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That respect that we give to the Lord, to fear God. James would also say that we should be humble in our lifestyle. Who among you is wise and understanding, he says in chapter 3. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant, so lie against the truth. This is wisdom. Or this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. So we must walk humbly with our God. And then to be a lover of the Word of God. Paul, writing to Timothy in Timothy 2, would say, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom and lead you to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The scripture makes us wise. We should spend a lot of time in the Word of God. So these men, they studied the movement of the stars. They noticed that there was a new star in the sky. And theologically, they might have been wrong, but they were sincere seekers of the truth. An example of someone like this, you can do the wrong thing and get the right results, is King Saul and the witch who was in Endor. They were wrong. Saul went to the witch to call up the prophet Samuel from the dead. Now, the witch was used to having a demon respond to her calls. Demons study people while they're alive and can imitate people when they are dead. And so when a person calls up someone who is dead, maybe a dead relative, and a person would go to that witch and say, bring up my dead Uncle Joe. And it wouldn't be Uncle Joe that would come up, but a demon who was doing an impression because he'd studied Uncle Joe. And he's able to come up and pretend to be. Well, that's what this witch was expecting. But it wasn't the demon who came up. It was Samuel who came up. And it shocked her that the real Samuel came up and not her demon. Can you imagine that? Somebody was more scared of the real prophet Samuel than she was scared of the demon? So while it's not right, and I've been reading through the Pentateuch for the last few weeks, first five books of the Bible, the law, and it says not to look to the sky, not to look to the heavens, not to look at the sun, moon, and star for guidance, but to look to the Lord for guidance. But here these men were gazing at the stars, and God put in the heavens a special star, a different star that would lead them to the Messiah. They were seekers of the truth. Jeremiah 29 says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your heart." That's what was the desire of the men, these men's heart. "I will let myself be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place where I sent you into exile." These three, or more or less, wise men came and found the Lord. They made inquiry of the Lord. And people start their search for the Lord in many different places. We hear today of people who have visions and dreams. In fact, in prayer meeting, we often pray for Muslims to have dreams and visions of Jesus so that they'll come to the Lord. Their wives, can you imagine being the wives of one of these wise men? "Where are you going? I thought this was a business trip." "It isn't? Does this have something to do with your small group that meets on Tuesday nights? Have you been reading the prophet Daniel again? You know that's going to get you into all kinds of trouble. The book of Numbers that talked about the star? Why are you going?" Daniel spoke of four great kingdoms: Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome. And then one that would be set up, a new kingdom that would come out of heaven as a stone, a rock from heaven that would destroy the remnants of the last four. That this kingdom would be an eternal kingdom. That was the kingdom that they were seeking. They made inquiry. They went, however, to the wrong place. After all, shouldn't the new king be born in the capital city? The city of Jerusalem was where the kingly line of Israel would be born. But the kingly lineage of David had ended with Zedekiah when he was blinded and taken off into captivity into Babylon. The last thing he saw was the execution of all of his children, all of his sons, all of those who would be heir to the throne. It was the end of the lineage, but it wasn't the end of the house of David. The house remained in Bethlehem. The lineage ended in the city of Jerusalem. It wasn't the end of the house of David. So they found out that they went to the wrong place. They also found out that the people who knew about Jesus didn't care. The king and the scribes, who knew the prophecy of Micah 5:2. They knew that Jesus was to be born in Jerusalem, but they just didn't care. You would have thought that they would have led the wise men to Bethlehem. But they stayed in Jerusalem and said, "Let us know how you make out. Let us know what you find in Bethlehem." And then they also had to realize that while they were guided by the star, that the star would lead them to the Word of God. Because no matter where we start in our quest, in our search for the Lord, we only get there through His Word. General revelation can only take us so far. Back in Psalm 19, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." But they only will get you so far. When we make further inquiry, it has to be through the Word of God. Micah 5:2 told them they would have to find Jesus in Bethlehem. So no matter what the circumstances that bring you to seek Jesus, God will use His Word to bring you to Him. They realized that their only response to the birth of this king was worship. Notice it says they worshiped him. It doesn't say they worshiped them. We notice that Mary even worshiped Jesus. She said, "My soul rejoices in God, my Savior." Jesus was Mary's Savior. We find in 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus." They bowed before Jesus. Missionary and evangelist E. Stanley Jones, who affected so many of the leaders of Christendom in the last century, spoke of his experience of viewing a very special statue of Jesus in Denmark. He wrote, "As I walked up the cathedral aisle to see the wonderful statue, I was almost overcome in awe. But as I walked along, my Danish friend whispered, 'You will not be able to see his face unless you kneel at his feet.'" It was true, for Christ was standing with outstretched arms, but looking down. I knelt at his feet, and only then was his face looking into mine. You can't really see Christ until you surrender to him. Those who start afar off, surveying him, never really see his face. So bend the knee, be conquered by him, surrender yourself. The Scottish theologian said it well, "Walk humbly, walk softly, down with the topsail. Stoop, stoop. It's a low entry to go in at heaven's gates." When you see the wise men, you might have some questions for them in the future. One of the blessings in heaven is that we're going to get a lot of our questions answered. Maybe when we get there, we won't have as many questions as we do now. But one of the questions could be, "Did you ask the baby's name?" That's what we do, don't we? We go into the hospital to see the new baby. What did you name him? What's the baby's name? His name is Jesus. Well, why did you name the baby Jesus? For he will save his people from their sin. Did you ask him when you were there at the stable, or at the house, I should say, did you ask him to forgive your sins? Did you embrace him as your Savior? And the last question, we know that you arrived in Bethlehem with the treasures of earth in your hands. What I want to know is whether you left Bethlehem with the treasure of heaven in your hearts. Three, more or less, wise men coming to Jesus. Did you trust him as your Savior? They bent the knee and worshiped him. The only true response. Father, we thank you for these testimonies that we've read about, that we've sung about this morning. Father, we realize that the one who didn't go, that really needed to go, was King Herod. And the Bible said Herod was troubled. And Father, I would pray for everyone who is troubled this morning. I would ask, Lord, that you would lead us to Jesus. Father, for whatever troubles our hearts today, we know that there is peace in your presence, that we might find grace to help in our time of need in the presence of Jesus. So we come in prayer now, we bow down to you, our Savior and our Lord. And we seek, Lord, the peace of Christmas, the peace that only you can bring in our troubled world. We receive it now. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.